Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'd love to show you the crab cake platter that I have with the big, fat steak fries that I love so much here at Fadley's and the cucumber salad that I only can get here because it is delicious, but I ate it all. Luke Jones ate all of his as well, but we did not eat the Maryland Lottery tickets, like the whammy, not eating our savings. Pressure Lux, we also have the Lucky Sevens Doublers. The Raven Scratch-Offs are now available as well. There's a big $700 million jackpot going on right now with the Powerball as well. Our friends at GBMC, we're welcoming them in as our new hotline sponsor. They'll also be doing some injury report work here into the fall. We did a whole dissertation on baseball, Mike Elias, Samuel Basayo, and Dylan Beavers. It's football season in the Charm City.
It is.
We're down here for Fadley's, and, you know, the Astros were in for this, and we had a big lunch crowd, and baseball's going to leave us lonely. The football team takes off so much that Lamar Jackson can get stepped on in a practice, and it becomes like Schefter tweets, and is it a wrist, is it a foot? Where's John Harbaugh? And anytime it says to me, and I know you might concur, might not, Raven spokesman said, bank, I go, that's what I do. So, yes.
Well, and it's, look, there have been enough examples with injuries specifically over the years where, yeah, you're going to be a little skeptical.
I trust Trump more than I trust Chad Steele. And that's not saying much. So,
but the good news is it does sound like he's okay. They did x-ray his foot just to be okay. Assuming we see him out there next week as we're kind of in that last, you know, final cuts happen Tuesday and they'll get a respite over a long weekend, a Labor Day weekend, then they'll be back that Monday and then it's game week. I mean, there's so much hurry up and wait and then suddenly it's go time, right? I mean, this past week out at practice, you saw some of the quality control type coaches holding up the cards. That's when you know scout team is working and they're looking at Buffalo, they're looking at Cleveland. Joe Flacco getting the start for the Browns in week two,
as predicted here at WNST.
Yeah. But it's starting to feel real now, and we'll see that here. I mean, they're going to play down in Landover. Maybe there's one or two jobs left up for grabs, you know, see what happens there, see if anyone gets hurt. You know, as you know, some back end of the roster guys could always get hurt in the final week of the preseason.
And they're not doing the scrimmage with the Commanders.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not. They ended up and it was odd because the rationale that both teams kind of talked about was, well, Washington had a Monday night game. It's like, schedule came out in May. You guys knew this. You know, it's not that big of a deal, but it was just kind of odd. But, you know, they practiced this week. You know, again, the Lamar scare aside, a pretty unremarkable week. I mean, they've got some veteran guys that they're kind of managing through. You know, Jair Alexander's kind of the last week to 10 days. They're kind of...
If they're ready against Buffalo...
That's what matters.
So
that's what matters.
Who's not playing against Buffalo? Likely?
Isaiah Likely. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but I don't see any way. I mean, I just don't. I think week two, week three, if he's playing then, I think you feel good.
So if where you are right now is since they lost our Darius Washington, they've only really lost Likely as far as impact snaps.
Yeah, I mean, the two six-round cornerbacks, I mean, you know, at least one of those guys is going to be on the roster, but special teams or game day inactive, right? I mean, they weren't going to be real players, but you're trying to manage, like Jair Alexander, he's still managing the knee that he had last year. It's why he was available in mid-June for $4 million, so... How much of this is get him right for week one?
His personality's not going to play 42 snaps on September 7th.
I mean, you know, he might play 42 snaps, but he might not practice during the week to be able to do that, right? I mean,
okay.
That's what we're talking about here. So you know, they've dealt with a little bit of that. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, they've slow played him this summer. I mean, what do you really need to see out of him other than, like, okay, he's built enough of a rapport with Lamar that you feel good about what he's going to do in this offense and keep him out of harm's way otherwise. I mean, you know how it is with some of the veteran guys.
I mean, you know, what's he in on? 30 to 50 plays in the playbook?
Yeah.
To say, like, these are the plays we're going to have a package where you're going to be a... Now, obviously, lots of things change. Flowers goes down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
you know, rips an ankle up
Bateman gets hurt or something.
You
he's playing.
You move in, you have to know the offense. But, for him to be out there taking snaps.
Well, I mean, I think you look at how the Ravens want to play, right? And this might change a little bit the first couple weeks if Likely's not out there. You know, do they use a little more 11 personnel, three wide receiver sets? I mean, this is a team that likes to use two tight ends. We've seen that for years now. So how?
It's also a team that's going to want to run.
Yeah, and of course. I mean, they want to run the ball a lot. I mean, that's still what they do best, and that's not a knock on Lamar or any of their wide receivers who – I mean, Zay Flowers is a really good player. Bateman had a heck of a year last year.
But they're going to get the ball less here than they are in other places.
Yeah, sure, sure. I mean, that's not going to change. I mean, you still have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. I mean, the greatest quarterback, running back, rushing duo in NFL history. I mean, is anything close to that? I don't think so. So, you know, no disrespect to whoever Michael Vick had at running back on any given year.
We're not playing the run and shoot here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's still part of it, but... When you add DeAndre Hopkins, you now have a chance to be a little more multiple when you go into a three-wide receiver set as opposed to the last couple years where it was Nelson Aguilar playing that spot or Odell Beckham if he happened to be feeling okay that week, right? I mean, you know, I said this to you when Hopkins signed. To me, this is, in terms of expectations, when Beckham was at his best for that 5 or 6 week stretch that he did have with the Ravens 2 years ago, where he was pretty productive. I mean, go look at the numbers. He did a nice job. This is the Odell Beckham signing at a much more appropriate price point. And I think, you know, with Hopkins, you're looking for two things: red zone contributions and someone that can win some 50-50 balls on the outside.
He's going to make some big plays
for
them, I
think. Yeah, he's going to make some plays. I mean, yeah. I think
curious that Kansas City couldn't use him in the stretch drive.
Yeah, well, but that's also where, again, he was available for $5 million, right? Even a good number two wide receiver in this league now is making $12 or $13 million. I mean, that's what you're looking at this point.
He's not here to help you win the Super Bowl. He's here to be a player.
That one or two big plays a game he makes might be the difference. But no, I mean, put it this way. If DeAndre Hopkins sniffs 1,000 yards, I'm guessing that means one of your top two wide receivers had a major long-term injury. I mean, I think, go look at what Beckham was. I think he was around, 500 receiving yards? Would you like a little more, a touch more than that? Sure, but they're going to run the ball a lot. They have two tight ends they want to throw the ball to a lot. I mean, there are only so many mouths to feed in this offense, and that's before you even get into Justice Hill as the number two running back or Keaton Mitchell getting five or six touches
Lamar's
a game.
Lamar's actually going to do touching the ball
any
given
course,
week?
Of course.
Is Lamar going to run 9 times for 158 yards?
Depends on the game.
Right.
He might have one. He'll have a day where he might run 13 times. He might have some other games where he runs twice because he doesn't need to run. So, you know, that's where you are. But Todd Monken wants it to be that way. You don't want to have this identity that makes you predictable. You want to drill down on the things that you do best, but part of bringing in DeAndre Hopkins is expanding. I mean, part of bringing in Derrick Henry last year, look, guys like me were saying what? Well, you've had the top rushing offense even without a Derrick Henry at running back, so why do you really need that? Well, we saw what it looked like. It gives you an even more dynamic running game that now takes a little bit of the pressure off Lamar that he doesn't have to run 12 times every single week like he did 5 years ago.
Also takes pressure off your offensive line.
Of course.
That you can, you know, get away with things you can't get away with when you don't have Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson.
They absolutely do. I mean, they're often, you know, if there's – it's funny. I was asked this question on social media by just a Ravens fan. They asked me the question, you know, what are my concerns about this roster right now? Putting aside the January narrative, right? I mean, everything that you need to have go well to get to that point, and then we could talk about that, because we will, because we have for 5 or 6 years now.
I hope to still be here in January.
Yes, of course. Better be. I mean, something's gone horribly wrong if they don't. That's how highly I think of this football team. But, you know, beyond health, you know, when you kind of look at how healthy they were last year and just how likely that it's going to be for that to happen. You know, I kind of look at, you know, where they are on their offensive line. The starting five, thumbs up, right? I'm not concerned about the starting five. The depth, I've said this from the moment he signed in Jacksonville. They're going to miss Patrick McCary just because of how versatile he was. Now, this is not me saying the Ravens should have given him what the Jaguars paid him. No, he's not that kind of player, but it doesn't mean you don't miss him. You know, he's versatile. He was... it was almost like he was two players because you literally could put him at any of the five spots if something happened to a starter. I mean, they did that last year. Voorhees was the starter in the first 3 weeks, and then he got hurt, and they just happened to put him there. So, you know, so the depth on the offensive line, I'm still uneasy about the number three safety picture because of the trickle-down effect on that. One, you want to be able to move Kyle Hamilton all over the place. If you don't have a third safety that you can trust to be in...
Do you sense September 7th it's going to look more like it did last September against Buffalo, or more the way it did in January when... I mean, what are you seeing out on the fields there?
What, and you
I
mean,
don't even know
you
that
mean
that
for
matters.
The defense?
Yeah, what they want to do with Hamilton and setting him free, how much are we going to see of that in the early going based on personnel?
I'm guessing...
They were a better football team once they ditched it last year.
They were, but was it the best version of maximizing his special talents? You know, because they've talked a lot about they want to force more turnovers. They didn't force many turnovers last year. So, to answer your question, if you're going to ask me one or the other, I'm guessing to start, you might see it look a little bit more like it did at the end of last year, because you have Malachi Starks seeing his first NFL action. We haven't talked about him a whole lot. That's a good thing. I think he's looked the part of a starting caliber safety who should have plenty of upside. But we also know what Kyle Hamilton looked like his first 6 weeks in the NFL, having the ball thrown over his head in that Miami collapse. You know, so I'm expecting some hiccups from Starks here and there. So that might tell you you're a little more conservative on the back end of the defense in terms of what you're doing package-wise. And they got to find out. Right now, it looks like Sanusi Kane's going to be their number three safety. Now, keep in mind...
We weren't talking a lot about him
no,
6 weeks ago.
No, we weren't, because I thought all along, and part of me still thinks at some point they'll add a veteran safety, but they haven't to this point. And we're getting to the point now where you're starting to say, even if you did, is he going to be ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's tough.
For the complexity of what you're trying to do on the back end communicating.
So that's where I kind of look at their number three safety options, and that's not to say that whether it's him, whether Ruben Lowry, the undrafted rookie. Again, we're talking about a number three spot. This isn't a guy that's going to play 60 snaps a game. Because keep in mind, the one change now from where they were pre all the changes last year is they're much more inclined now, because of the numbers they have at corner, to play three-corner nickel, and they could even play four-corner dime, more so than relying on these three safety looks that they really liked the last few years.
Got to have the personnel for that.
But
though,
I still
right?
think you want to have those three safety looks at your disposal. So that means Sanusi Kane's got to be able to do it. That means Malachi Starks has to be able to do it. That means if it's Ruben Lowry in certain circumstances, if he makes the team, which I think he's going to, you need to have those guys be trustworthy. Otherwise, then it is Hamilton in a little more of that deep safety role, which, let me be clear, when I say this, it's not a knock on Kyle Hamilton. He was great in that role. The point is, it's kind of like, you know, when you have, like, Lamar. Could he just pass and not run at all? Yeah, and I think he'd be way better at that than if you had asked him to do that 5 years ago. But why would you want to take that out of the equation? It's the same thing with Hamilton. He played great playing in more of a deep, traditional, conventional safety role. But you love what he can do at the line of scrimmage, and my point is, you just want to be able to have your whole menu of what he can do.
Incredibly disruptive up front.
No question. But
you got to hold your water in the back.
But I do think until those guys are settled in and you feel comfortable, maybe you're going to see them be a little more. And hey, let's be clear, they had arguably the best defense in the league over the last 6 weeks last year. When you look at it statistically, for as bad as it was the first half of the year, it was that good down the stretch. So, you know, I think there's a decent chance you're going to see them be a little more conservative in that way out of the gate. But that doesn't mean they won't blitz and do the things that they do with their defensive line and their edge rushers and all that. I mean, so, you know, that to me, the third safety is still my big question, because part of that, and this is the other, you know, I mentioned Hamilton, the other subplot to that is inside linebacker. Do I think Trenton Simpson can do what they're asking him to do as the weak side guy and hold on to the job after he was benched post-bye last year? Sure. I think generally speaking, however, from a philosophical standpoint, when they are in obvious second and long, third and long, obvious passing situations, I think they would like to put another defensive back in and take that second inside linebacker off the field. So, again, you don't want to be too light in the box because then teams will start hitting you with runs on third and six and get you, you know, out of whack. And then, you know, they might even pick up a first down if you're too light. That's, again, where you come back to you need to have a viable third safety option. And that's where – I'm not saying those guys can't do it, but it's – very much an unknown. You're talking about the two candidates for that job right now are a second-year guy who was a seventh-round pick last year, and Ruben Lowry, who, and this is a credit to him, it looks like he's passed Bo Braid in the pecking order to the point where Bo Braid's he's on the bubble. I mean, we'll see if he makes the team. I think if he does, it's on special teams. But Lowry has moved ahead of him, which good for Ruben Lowry, but just because he makes a team, and you might say he's your number four safety, and maybe you can get him in the mix as the year goes on.
He's
if you love
play
him
against Buffalo,
and if he does, you're not confident that he's going to be perfect out there the way that you want to be because you want to beat this team. We know this Buffalo game in Week One and Kansas City at the end of September. We know how crucial those games are for all three of those teams because you want to be the team that's hosting the AFC Championship game or have the chance to, let's say. So. You got to hold court. You got to hold serve against these other heavyweights.
That's why I'm asking you about their health, just in a general sense. Just, you know, who's going to be on the field September 7th? And, you know, I'm convinced the guys they got, they'll be ready to play.
Yeah,
Buffalo will be ready to play, too.
No doubt. I mean,
last year in the stadium.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you know, Jaire Alexander, that's a general concern, right? I mean,
that's going to be week to week.
Right. I mean, it's going to be, is he available this week? How much is he practicing? All that.
When you see him play 6 weeks in a row, you'll stop asking, right?
Yeah. Okay. At least. It might be more than that because, I mean, look at his history the last 5 years. He's terrific when he's on the field, but he hasn't been on the field that much. I mean, seven games or fewer in, what, three of the last four seasons, I think it is? So I'm not trying to be mean. I have a lot of respect for him as a player, but he'd be the first to tell you, and any coach or general manager or any football player.
We talked about Jordan Westbrook earlier.
Availability is paramount. You know, you can have all these skills, but if you're standing on the sideline, it doesn't help. So, but it's also why they only paid him $4 million or $5 million. $4 million. You know, I loved it at $4 million. If they had given him $8, I would have been saying,
well,
ooh, I don't know how this works
out. Well, we're done with money talk with the Ravens, right?
Sure,
I mean,
you got to go play.
You know, and other than maybe something they pull out of the closet here with a retired player, a guy that comes back, something they didn't want to have on the roster for week one.
It's funny.
You know, wherever that is. Yeah. Somebody else is Anthony Levine.
It's funny you mentioned that because this is purely my speculation. I don't want to imply that I've heard this from anyone in the organization. But Adisa Isaac, and we forgot to mention him, dislocated his elbow. He's out until halfway through the season. Like, he has ligament damage. Again, guy that was going to be on special teams, maybe got a half dozen snaps a game in the rotation. So that should, to me, that means David Ajabo is on the roster. However, David Ajabo doesn't play very much on special teams. This is the scenario, and, you know, I probably fans listening to this right now know who I'm going to mention. If there's a scenario that where it would have made sense that you're bringing back Jadeveon Clowney, who is still out there, and I have no idea. I don't know if he's planning to play this year or not. I mean, no, that's been quiet. I don't think he's even visited anywhere.
I know one thing. Jadeveon Clowney has plenty of money.
He does.
He doesn't have to do anything.
But if he's looking for a ring, you know. But what happened there with Isaac going on IR and Ajabo now looking safe but understanding that he's not really a special teams guy, is there some possibility that you give Jadeveon Clowney a call and maybe he pushes David Ajabo off the roster? Because, well, neither one of those guys are going to play special teams. If you have one or the other strictly as a rotational edge rusher for you, who would you rather have, all things being equal? I think it's obviously Jadeveon Clowney at this point. So I'm not saying...
We need more 1-1s around
here. I am not saying that is going to happen, but you just asked me, like, barring some kind of unexpected veteran addition.
Something like that.
It could be. Keep in mind,
the Kyle Van Noy's of
Kyle Van Noy, they signed in late September.
Sure.
That wasn't even like, you know, Clowney and what was that? Ronald Darby was that year. They signed those guys in mid-August.
Georgie Kokinas is on this. So, they got pro personnel on this.
I just, it's funny because I had someone a few weeks back ask me about Clowney, and I kind of I wasn't really seeing it based on the numbers that they have. And they really do like Mike Green. I mean, I think they're excited about him. But until I see him against starting offensive linemen in the NFL, like, let's pump the brakes a little. But they are excited about him. So, you know, you've got your top four of Van Noy, Owe, Tavius Robinson. I don't know if you saw Double J was in town.
Yeah.
And he was working with him. They love Tavius Robinson. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be like a 12-sack guy. I mean, Jarrett Johnson wasn't that guy. But in terms of an edge setter, playing the run, lunch pail guy that you can count on to play 50 snaps every week, I think they feel that he can be that kind of guy for them.
Brian Murray, my first hockey coach back in the 80s of the Caps, he had this lisp that he would talk with like this. And he, when he really liked a player, he would say that he plays very responsibly.
Yeah.
Very responsible
yeah.
player.
I mean, they love him.
And that's a defensive.
He works so hard,
hockey,
all that.
Defensive yeah. mode, you know? So, like,
it's a guy you can trust.
Jarrett trust. Johnson. There
yeah.
you go.
No question.
I put on Jarrett's Facebook, but can he fish?
I'm sure that came up.
I love Double J.
I'm sure Jarrett will be back in Florida fishing. Not too.
Follow, he ain't go fish.
I follow him on Instagram, and anytime he posts, it's not a picture of him and his family. It's him on a fishing boat.
Oh, I love Jarrett Johnson. So.
But you know, but you look at they have those three guys, and then Mike Green. So those are your four that are your like rotation guys. Typically, you have a fifth guy that is more special teams inclined. That's where Adisa Isaac was going to fit in. So. I don't know exactly where those special team snaps are going to go. Probably a few more to some of the inside linebackers. But if you have a fifth outside linebacker who's not playing special teams, and David Ajabo, you know, he practices there. I've never seen him do it a lot enough to inspire confidence. You know, I'm just putting it out there. If that ends up happening in the next week and you get the WNST Baltimore Positive text alert, you could say, well, Luke at least mentioned this possibility. But again, this is purely me talking out of my you-know-what. This was not something someone in the organization mentioned to me. I'm looking at the logic of it, especially if Clowney wants to come here on the cheap, which that's a big question too, because he likes his money. You know, he may not need it, but he likes it. I mean, that's why he signed in Carolina
two years ago. They bring him in October, pay him
less. So we'll see. But, I mean, for the most part, I mean, most of these, I've mentioned guys on the bubble, like Ajabo, Bo Braid, figuring out who the last offensive lineman is going to be. Like, these aren't, like, major roster questions. These are much more on the
indicative
margins.
Indicative of a team that thinks it's going to win 12 or 13
And that's the
right.
thing. I mean, if you're sitting here saying, well, I don't know who the starting guard, you know. I mean, I know people aren't big Daniel Falele fans in these parts, you know, that people are. But, look. There might be three teams in the league that love all five of their starting offensive linemen. You know, Philly.
And by week six.
One of those guys is gone.
Right.
Because that's just how this works.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, do they have a couple spots where there's some relative questions, relative weakness? Sure. Every team has that. Buffalo has that. Kansas City's had issues at left tackle going back to when the Buccaneers blew them out in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they had Orlando Brown for 5 minutes. He was okay for them, but they didn't marry him, right? I mean, they didn't sign him long term. So they've been trying to solve that for 5 years now. Now they drafted, and you know, we'll see what happens there for them. But you know, even the team that's won it multiple times has roster questions. So that's where I, you know, all this minutia about the 53 and the practice squad and everything. Like, look, that's what I do, and I'm a nerd. I like that kind of stuff. But you take a step back and say, it's a heck of a roster, and. To your point at the beginning of our conversation, barring something horrifically wrong, something that goes that's catastrophic like
an Orioles season.
Well, barring something like that, you know, we're going to be talking about this team in the second week of January, talking about, hey, can they finally break through?
Well, Buffalo, September 7th. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. We're here at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have some pressure locks and some lucky sevens. I will be getting the Ravens scratch-offs in. We're going to be at Pizza John's on Friday. On Monday, we're going to move the show to Costas and Timonium. Tuesday, back downtown to Solancha and Fells Point. And on Wednesday, we'll conclude the summer tour at Coco's in our 27th anniversary as we get around eating the things that I love to eat. I've been sharing them. The hashtag there is Tastiness, T-A-S-T-Y-N-E-S. Oh, and that's out on Facebook as well as YouTube and out on the front of Baltimore Positive. Fake football, one more game. Anything that happens, we'll get first on the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I even had Bill Cole come by and talk about networking in Ocean City and the Mako Conference. If you've been listening in, you've heard senators, county executives, Republicans, Democrats, delegates, even Sean Stinnett, our former intern, who's now Delegate Stinnett, stop by. So I thought that was great, too, all these years later. So I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive. Stay with us.